Hey, it's Mailbag Monday, and you asked some of the following questions. Now that Artie is staying, how does that affect Ohtani, and how does it affect the stadium deal? And speaking of Ohtani, what could the Halos get if they decided to trade him? You shut your mouth, we're not trading him. And why do the Angels suck? I love that question. And is it a simple fix to make them all better? All your questions will be answered because it's time to get locked on with Mike and John, and this is Locked On Angels.
You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Man, I can't wait for baseball season. Thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen every day. Every show is free and available on all platforms like Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And the best way to help us out is by giving us a rate and a review. And those watching on YouTube, make sure that you're subscribed and click that bell to be notified every time a new episode drops. And today's episode's brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon today to get started.
Thanks for being here with us and happy Monday to you. This is Locked On Angels, where it's your team every day. You've got the Fritsch brothers here with you, aka the Super Halo Bros. My name is John, and that's my brother Mike.
And my name is Mike, and that's my brother John.
If you want to follow these lifelong Angel fans, you can get at us on Twitter at Locked On Angels or on Twitter and Instagram at Super Halo Bros. And we're encouraging you to do that because it's a Mailbag Monday. We got some great questions from you, the Locked On Angels listeners and viewers. Mike, we actually have a voicemail to get right into it. We're talking about Artie Moreno. We're talking about Shohei's future. So let's get right into it.
Hey guys, Halo Joe here. I have a question for you. It seems like in the offseason, Artie was kind of non-existent while Perry was taking care of everything. Do you think that possibly Artie was kind of done and tired with being the owner? That's why he thought of selling. And then came the realization like, hey, I could still own these guys. I just step back and let everybody else do all the hard work. Is it just wishful thinking on my part? I'm hoping so. Maybe that's what's to come, him kind of backing off into the shadows. Anyway, I'd like to know what you guys think about that. Also, one more thing before I let you guys go. I need to know from each of you, which is your favorite Super Mario Brothers game?
Halo Joe from Halo's in the Infield. Thanks for giving us a call. He does a great recap of some Halo's history over there, so check that out. Halo Joe wants to know, with Artie Moreno wanting to sell and then not selling and then seeing, hey, we actually got a pretty good team if I'm hands-off, Mike, do you think Artie's going to be more hands-off from this point forward?
You know, John, there's a song from the 90s that I used to play on a radio show that I hosted, and the song had this line in it. I'm the king of wishful thinking. I think that Artie has shown his stripes, and I think that he wants to be involved to some level because I think he wants to win the fans back over again. I don't think that he is going to be able to be as hands-off as I think the fans would want him to be. If this offseason is an indication of what it will be like, depending on how long he owns this team in the future, then I would be a bit more excited. But there is that luxury tax issue, John, and we bring that up all the time. He didn't go over the luxury tax this year, at least at this point. And it doesn't seem like he's willing to do that at any point. And so that's going to be the frustrating thing. He is making a ton of money, and he's unwilling to actually spend up to the luxury tax. I get that they spent this year, but a lot of Angel fans would have loved to see a great starting pitcher and a great shortstop. And we don't have that because we didn't spend to make that happen. And so I think it might be a bit of wishful thinking. What do you think?
It's funny that you said that he wants to win the fans back by sticking around and trying to make these decisions. But the thing is, it's like we made all of these decisions in the offseason with the concept that he wasn't going to be here after this offseason. And so it's frustrating because you operated in such a way that you had to think about the future. You gave Phil Nevin a one-year deal because you weren't sure what ownership might want to do moving forward, new ownership. And then now he's back. So we kind of made these very arty moves. At the same time, I like the moves that Perry Minassian was able to make. It does seem like Perry had a little more control over the kinds of players that we should have been getting in terms of building out the middle of the roster and getting depth and that sort of thing. But you're right. I feel like as soon as Artie says that he wants to keep this team, it's like, prove it. Prove it to me that you care. Prove it to me that you want to go over the luxury tax, because you kind of have to do that nowadays, especially when you're in a position like the Angels where the up-and-comers are not quite there yet. You have to build around Shohei and Trout, and to some extent they've done that, but like you said, there's definitely some missing pieces there. Until Artie proves that he's not going to be a nuisance, I'll believe it when I see it. But I understand where Halo Joe's coming from here. Now, favorite Mario game, Mike? I'm going to go Super Mario World as far as the 2D platformers. But 3D platformers, I really like 3D World. That was on the Wii U and the Switch. What's your favorite Mario game?
Mario Brothers 2, baby. You can pick things up. You can climb things. You can pull out a potion. You can get a mushroom and a secret land. That was my favorite Mario Brothers game. It was so different than all the other games. That's why I liked it the most.
And it wasn't even originally a Mario game. And it's still dang good. Hey, we've got another voicemail here for segment one. Let's go to Steve from Kansas.
Hey, guys. This is Steve in Kansas. I've got three questions for you guys. How does Artie staying affect the stadium situation? Will they stay in Anaheim or will they move? Second, if you were Perry, would you just trade Ohtani now for a boatload of prospects and or big league ready talent? And third, given the Buttercup events of last week, what would it take for you to fall away from your Angels fandom and no longer root for the Halos? Okay, thanks, guys. Hope this doesn't sound too pessimistic. Thanks for entertaining us all.
Steve from Kansas, thanks for sending in your voicemail. Great to hear from you again. Mike, with Artie staying, does that affect the stadium situation? I know they got a pretty long lease still on staying in Anaheim and that particular stadium. Do they go to the table again, or does Artie consider moving? I mean, gosh, you really have to restore that relationship with the city of Anaheim. And the mayor did say, she did say that they were willing to talk again once the dust settles from all of this nonsense. So how do you feel about that?
We've talked about Artie being the businessman, right? And that's what he is. He's a businessman and he makes money, and he has proven that before he was the Angels owner. And he's proven that over the last few years as well, because the Angels have made him a whole lot of money. Shohei Ohtani has made him a whole lot of money. He's a businessman. Of course, he's going to go back and sit down and have a conversation. I think we've often said Artie the businessman is a negative to this team, but I think when it comes to business deals, I think that that's a positive, and it's a positive for one reason for me and one reason only, that he's just going to keep coming back to the table to try to get the best deal possible. I think it would be foolish and ridiculous to move this team out of Anaheim, to move them anywhere else, unless somebody blows you away with a perfect stadium deal. But I think it would just be silly for him to go anywhere else because the Angel Stadium is their home, and it's an opportunity for him to make a whole lot of money, and that's part of the reason why there was issues, because he wanted some things that they were unwilling to give him, and then we find out there were some backdoor deals. Artie wants to make money, and he wants this to be a successful organization. He wants this to be a place where people come to and enjoy, but at the bottom line, he wants to make some money, and so he's a businessman. Of course he's going to sit back down with the mayor and with the city. I don't know how that's going to go, but I think that, you know, in business, there's always this idea of like short-term memory, right? Like, you don't remember what happened the first two negotiations, but this last negotiation, if it goes really well, then all is forgiven because everybody gets to line their pockets with thousands, if not millions of dollars.
Well, you know, he wants to be part of that new experience that they're building down there as well. The OC Vibe is what it's called. And that's going to be a huge development plan. And you know, Artie is going to want in on that. As far as trading Ohtani now for a boatload of prospects or big league ready talent, I just think that you lose a lot in terms of his bat and his pitching. And so to replace that, I understand maybe getting ready, big league ready talent, but man, you got to go all in this season with Ohtani, and you got to go for it. And I think the Angels have the ability to go for it. And then what would cause us to lose fandom? You said it 100 times, Mike. I can't turn it off. I can't.
Right.
I mean, I watched, I knew the game was over before it even started when Brock Purdy got hurt on Sunday against the Eagles, and I still watched the game.
And
look, like, how many terrible seasons of 49ers football have we watched, and in the last 10 years have actually had some hope? I saw a lot of tweets that said, so much pain, the 49ers are just a circle of pain, and I'm like, have you tried being an Angel fan? Because we've gone to the NFC, we've gone to the NFC Championship 2 years in a row, maybe even three. We went to the Super Bowl in 2020. Like, I know it sucks to lose in the playoffs, but we got to the playoffs, so
we want to get to the playoffs as Angel fans. Like, we just want to sniff it, right? And maybe win 1-2 games, that'd be awesome.
No
if
kidding.
We won a series, man, we would go nuts in Anaheim. That's what
Seriously.
We want, and so you're right, I'm with you. Like, it would be great to be able to have a team that goes there. Yeah, fans of other teams, you don't know what pain really is until you root for the Angels. And you're right, John, we can't turn it off. It's just so much fun to be an Angel fan. Even when it's not fun, we can make it fun. The community of Angel fans are fun, and the players are fun. We really love these players, and we really hope that they have a successful season. So I don't know where the switch is. I don't know where the button is. I just can't turn it off. And so no matter what they do, unless they violate humanity, right?
Right.
And do something just so ridiculous and outrageous that you don't want anything to do with them,
I
just can't turn it off. I'm an Angel fan for life.
Hey, coming up on Locked On Angels, we're going to get some more of your questions, including how does this year's schedule affect our Halos? Is it going to be tough? Is it going to be easy? We'll look at it in just a bit.
FanDuel is our sponsor for today's show. The NFL playoffs are here, and whether you're heartbroken or your heart is excited, we're excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On, because they're the number one sports book in America. They are FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers, when you join today, you can get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets, from the money line to the point spread to player props. They'll explain all of that to you, especially if you're new to betting as well. You can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same game parlay. And that's all on the app that's safe and secure and super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet and get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
And thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen today. And for your second listen, you got to check out Locked On MLB Prospects with host Lindsey Crosby. He's a prospect encyclopedia. And as we gear up for the season, you're going to want to know who the future of baseball is. And Lindsey's got that for you. Locked On MLB Prospects is free and available wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a mailbag Monday on Locked On Angels. John, let's go back to the voicemails, because this one's interesting. We've talked about we're not going to trade Ohtani, or would we trade Ohtani. This voicemail, this caller, actually brings up an interesting trade. So why don't you play that?
Hey, this is James calling from Riverside. So I have two questions for you. The first one is, if Ohtani is not going to re-sign, or the negotiations aren't going anywhere, or at the trade deadline, the Angels are a losing team, what would you think about a one-for-one trade for Tatis Jr.? It would solve our shortstop problem, and the Padres would get their starting pitcher and DH that they need. My second question is, what is the solution to all of our bullpen problems right now? Currently, we are ranked as one of the worst bullpens in baseball, and we all know how excruciating it can be to be up in a game just to blow it in the eighth or the ninth. Yeah, thank you. I love your show.
James from Riverside, thanks for calling in and giving us your kind words and your voicemail. All right, let's set the stage here, because James had a very specific question about trading Ohtani for Tatis.
Yeah.
It's that negotiations aren't working. There's no extension. The Angels are out by the deadline. That's the framework for this situation, where in which the Angels trade Ohtani one for one. San Diego gets their DH and starting pitcher, and the Angels get a superstar for years to come. Mike, what do you think?
Thank you for setting the stage, because my initial response to this was, no, we're not doing that at all. What are you talking about, right? But he has a good point. Like, if negotiations aren't going well and we're out of the race and all of those things, I am intrigued by Fernando Tatis. I am intrigued by that player. I know that there is talk about him playing possibly, I think, right field for the Padres when he comes back from his suspension. Am I right about that?
Yeah, because they have Bogarts at short, and so you would have an outfield of Trent Grisham, Tatis Jr., and Juan Soto.
Yeah.
Maybe even left field. I'm not familiar. I think Juan Soto prefers right field. I think that he would probably get the preference there.
So we have Tatis, because we traded Ohtani. He can play shortstop, or he can play outfield. And mm-hmm. so I think that there is a two for one that we're getting, and we're giving the Padres a two for one. We're giving them a DH and a pitcher, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we have to find ourselves in a position where, gosh, things are just not working out with Ohtani and this season is a wash, I'm intrigued by a Fernando Tatis trade. Are you intrigued by that, or is it just ridiculous, John?
I mean, a one for one swap of two really significant players, and then you do get the chance to sign Ohtani in the offseason if you're the Angels, because he will be a free agent. However, the Padres certainly have half the season to try and extend him, which would be a very real possibility, so you run that risk. But if Ohtani wants to go to free agency, then the Angels are back in the conversation, and they have Tatis. That's a win-now move for the Padres.
And for sure.
If you give up Tatis, you're giving up a really big piece of your World Series run. I mean, they almost got there without Tatis last season, so imagine what next year will bring for them. If they feel like they need Ohtani to guarantee a spot in the playoffs and maybe even the World Series, that's an interesting position for the Padres to be in. I think I'd be on board with it. My only concern is the Padres extending Ohtani, and then we miss out on the opportunity to sign him. But if the Angels can't extend Ohtani before a theoretical trade, then it might be even tougher in the offseason to sign him, if that makes sense.
John, I think that if they end up trading him, I think that they have decided long before they make that decision to trade him that they aren't going to be able to re-sign him and not going to be able to lock him up. And so
that's fair.
I'm with this caller. I think that that would be another box I would check and say they know that they're not going to be able to get him at all, and that's why they would make this trade. And they know that in the offseason they would not be able to re-sign him, and that's why they would make this trade.
Hey, James also asked about the bullpen and just saying, you know, we're currently ranked as one of the worst bullpens in baseball. We know how hard it can be to, like, give up a lead in the eighth or the ninth. Here's what I want to frame this conversation in. The bullpen rankings are usually dependent on who's going to be in it, how have they performed in the past, what are they projected to do this season. And our bullpen, as it stands, is unproven. Number one, it's because we really don't know who's going to be in the bullpen aside from the names like Loop and Tapera and Estevez and Quijada. Jaime Barrios probably in there. The Angels don't even seem to know who this bullpen is going to be. And so the historical data is not very favorable, especially when you look at Aaron Loop's last season. Ryan Tapera had an okay season. Carlos Estevez does perform better away from Coors Field. I know the stats are about half and half away and at home, but the movement on his pitches are significantly better when he's away from Coors Field. Now, having said that, we have a lot of options for this bullpen. You've got C-Rod, Andrew Wance. You've got guys down in the minor leagues that you can call up and rely on. We'll probably see Ben Joyce at some point this season. We've got guys who have closed games down for the AA Trash Pandas. So there's tons of good options for the Angels.
Yeah.
I just think as it stands, I don't think that analysts have a pretty good grasp on who the Angels have, who they'll put in the bullpen. And until they show up and actually pitch, I mean, C-Rod pitched in 21, but not 22. I mean, we know who C-Rod is. You know who C-Rod is. And we're confident he'll be a good bullpen piece. So All of those options the Angels have are great. There's just a lot of them that need to step up, like the minor leaguers that they have.
Yeah. Speaking of the bullpen, John, Charlie Hess on Twitter asked this question. What about Matt Barnes? If he clears waivers, would he be a good minimum pay signing for our bullpen? You got some stats in front of you. Share those a bit about Matt Barnes.
Well, first
help
of all,
help me to understand. get me to win me over here, Johnny.
Yes.
Help me to buy into this.
First of all, Matt Barnes on a minimum deal, yes, 100%. That's a move that you make every time, because bullpen pieces are volatile, and you never know what you're going to get. Even if somebody is significantly good, like Craig Kimbrell, they have the ability to fall apart like he did last year for the Dodgers. Listen to this about Matt Barnes. His first half, 7.94 ERA in 20 games, in 17 innings pitched, 15 earned runs. Ooh, his whip was 1.706. Listen to the second half stats. A 1.59 ERA in 24 games.
Wow.
He got six saves in 22 and two-thirds innings, and he had a 1.235 whip in the second half. So you and I always talk about how you got to look at somebody's end of their season to see how they're going to start the next season. And for Matt Barnes, he had a strong second half. So
that's a deal
I make 100 times. The Angels need to do that.
I mean, it goes to show the volatility, it's easy for me to say, volatility of bullpen pieces, because, I mean, the first half to the second half, he is a completely different pitcher. And so I think you've won me over. I think we sign this guy, and if we can get him because he clears waivers at a minimum salary, that'd be a great move for this bullpen, because it still does need some help.
Definitely. Hey, ElgatoGordo7 on Instagram said, do we take a look at Cole Hamels, and should we look at one more bullpen piece? The news out there is that Hamels has actually been impressing people in his workouts. My question is, Mike, is this too much of a Matt Harvey or Tim Lincecum kind of move for the Angels? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think this is probably not a good move for the Angels unless they wanted to get some like minor league depth and maybe even consider him in relief. But him being a starting pitcher, I think the negative is that he hasn't pitched in a long time and he hasn't been healthy in a long time. And he's a lefty and we don't need another lefty starter. Sure. We have way too many of those. We need a right-handed pitcher. Now, if Cole Hamels comes back and he ends up becoming the great Cole Hamels that he was in the past, that would be spectacular. But that's the risk that you're taking. Mm-hmm. And I think the names that you mentioned, a Tim Lincecum and a Matt Harvey, that's what this feels like, really, because we're picking up somebody that has been tossed aside because he hasn't been successful, he hasn't been healthy, he hasn't been effective. And it feels like this would be an Angel move like 2 years ago. This feels like a Billy Epler move. Doesn't feel like a Perry Manassian move.
Here's the thing. It is worth it if it's a minor league deal and he's not playing a significant role to start the season. Like when we got Lincecum or Matt Harvey, it was like, they're in our rotation. This is happening. We're taking a risk. And with Cole Hamels, it seems like you have some flexibility to ease him into the season and kind of see how it works out, especially if it came cheap like a minor league deal. How about Tyler Shipley _YT said, do you think Sandy is ace material? What does he need to do to prove himself? Can I take this one? Because Sandy's my boy.
Absolutely. From the beginning, you've been a Sandy fan, so go
right.
for it.
I think the one thing that can show that Sandy is an ace is how long he's out there during his starts. I look back at the data, and in 2022, he had 11 outings of 6 innings and above, which is great. But get this, 16 games of 5 2/3 innings or less. I think when Sandy becomes an ace, it's somebody that you can count on to go out there at least 6 innings every time, but 7 innings plus from Sandoval, which means he needs to work on that pitch count. He needs to pitch more effectively, get outs more quickly, trust his stuff, and trust that if it gets hit, the guys behind him are going to pick him up. I know that that was a little bit of an issue last season with some errors, and they were very frustrating for Sandy. How about this last question? I'll let you take this one because I know how big of a Ohapi fan you are, Mike. But Max Torres 900 said, who do you think will be the opening day catcher? Gary Sanchez? Logan Ohapi? What do you think?
I think it's going to be Max Stassi because Shohei Ohtani is going to start.
Trick question.
And Max Stassi has been his personal catcher. Now, I would not be surprised. I'm about 65% of the way there thinking that Gary Sanchez will be our second catcher so that Logan Ohapi can marinate and cook a bit in the minor leagues. But I'm convinced that it will be Stassi at least on opening day because Shohei Ohtani is really, really comfortable with him.
We've got more of your questions coming up, so stay with us on Locked On Angels.
Today's show is brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. Are you looking for a delicious treat, but you don't want all those fat and calories? Of course not. You don't want that. You got to try a Built Bar. With Built, they're healthy and they are tasty. These bars are so delicious, you won't even think about how good they are for you. So what makes these bars so good? For starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. They come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. These bars taste like a candy bar while remaining healthy, only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, with a whopping 17 grams of protein. In the past, we've talked about getting Built Bars from their website, built.com. You can do that. They have a wide selection of bars and puffs, but you can actually get Built Bars at two different places just by jumping in the car and going there. Head first to your nearest Walmart today. Go to their pharmacy section. They have 4 bar boxes of Built Bars with flavors like cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. Or you can go to Sam's Club and you can grab a 13 bar box. John and I love Built Bars. We're not just paid to say that. We actually really love these things. Built Bars and Built Puffs. You gotta try this.
All right. Hey, we got a few more of your questions. And this is a good one from Stand Up at Your You on Twitter. He said, been thinking about this and not really finding any info about it, but what if the whole angel sucking thing is a simple fix? What if it's due to a below average training staff? Could you guys do a dive into the training staff compared to other teams? Now, that's difficult because it's hard to gather the data on how many people the Angels are staffing. But Mike, a few weeks ago, if you recall, I compared the amount of people on the entire Angels staff based on what I could find. And a lot of it had to do with LinkedIn and finding out how many employees were under the Dodgers or the Astros or the Angels. And what we did find was that those teams have significantly more employees than the Angels do listed publicly. It was like 300 employees total to like 1,000 employees total. Yeah. And so you can just imagine. You can just imagine the lack of, you know, training staff or the lack of an analytics division. In fact, that's actually why we got into that conversation, was because we wanted to know how the Angels analytics department compared to other teams. And we found that they were significantly less. It's getting better, as we know. They've made some great hires. Perry Minassian's made some great hires. But the training staff has long been frustrating. Think about all the Tommy Johns that our pitchers had to go through from 2010 to 2016-17, that sort of thing. And then we got all this misinformation in 21 that was given to Joe Maddon through the training staff, and then they decided, well, we're going to let the training staff decide. I really think that at Your You on Twitter is correct, that the lack of training staff or investment in that has affected this team from the beginning, and it's still an issue that resonates, especially when you've got Trout and Rendon hurt and Fletcher was hurt. Just so many injuries and strange timelines on when these guys are going to come back, misdiagnosis, stuff like that. I think it's really affected the Angels in the last few years.
Yeah, you know, Jeff Fletcher had a great article last year about like why the Angels had issues, and he shared a lot of different things. He talked about like their drafting and they didn't have international money to spend, all of those things. And he did kind of dabble into this conversation a bit, but I think this question is good because it probably is a simple solution. We've already seen the benefit of bringing in some new people and how we've drafted over the last two years that have really benefited this team. And so I'm with this listener because often, sometimes the solutions aren't that complicated. It really is just going, hey, we need to do this. John, here's a question from Twitter. Colin Kingston asked this question. Hey, what's the situation with the Spanish broadcasters? Has that improved at all? It's not a good way to conduct business or to promote your product to such a large population in Southern California. A freaking men. Like, that is just a mess, right? Yeah. And there really hasn't been an update. As we've heard, we have a special guest coming on the show on Wednesday. We'll tell you more about that. He may be able to bring some information, but there really hasn't been an update on what they're going to do with the Spanish broadcaster. But I would assume that because it's out in the public, what we've seen with the Angels in the past when they talked about the minor leagues and other situations, immediately something was done, or at least a statement was made. And so I can see that being corrected fast and being corrected before the season actually gets started.
I hope so, because that's ridiculous. And that is, like you said, it's not a good way to run business and just cut off a huge portion of your fan base and exclude them. I think it's ridiculous. Nikki on Instagram said, does the schedule changes make a positive impact on the Angels record this year? I think so. And just from the eyeball test, Mike, first of all, we got into the schedule a little bit last week, and to start the season is actually a lot easier than it was by the time we hit like late May and June. But just the eyeball test tells me this. In August, it's probably the toughest month and maybe the most important month because we face the Braves, we face the Mariners, the Giants, the Astros, the Rangers, the Rays, the Reds, the Mets, and the Phillies. So other than the Reds and possibly Rangers, Giants, it's some tough teams, right? Some teams that we need to win games against, especially the Mariners, if we're going to be racing for second place. The other thing is, there's a reasonable amount of days off each month. There were some stretches, man, where these guys were going through it in 22.
Yeah.
And so I took a look. Again, eyeball test shows me there's at least two stretches of 14 to 15 games in a row over the season. So they do have some long stretches. But it feels like there's about 2 to 3 days off a month every month, which is significant because last year there were some long stretches of baseball being played and between really tough teams where you're traveling and you're just grinding through it. And so it is good to see that the schedule seems to be a lot easier for the Halos this
that 14 to 15 game stretch is going to be fun for us though, because we're going to have a ton of content. It's going to be so
that's
awesome.
Right. It's covering every game.
John, the last question is from RawDog91 on Instagram. WBC matchup, Otani versus Trout. Who you got? Johnny, I'm going to take Trout because Trout seems to figure out every great pitcher. I can remember when he hit a grand slam off of Chris Sale, and I can remember when he's facing Justin Verlander and he's dominating him, and when he faces Jacob DeGrom, he's really good against him. Like, Mike Trout has a way of figuring it out. I know Otani's fantastic. He's the unicorn, but I can see Mike Trout getting the best of Shohei Otani. What do you think?
I think Otani's going to give him a 100-mile-an-hour heater. Trout, see if you can hit it, man, because that's
up and in.
Up and in. Just don't throw it at his head like the Mariners.
Yeah, right? Well, thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, the Locked On MLB Prospect Show with our friend Lindsey Crosby. He knows all about those MLB stars of tomorrow. And if you want information on them, want to learn about them, especially when it comes to the Angels, check out his show. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts.
Once again, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Angels. And if you want to catch Mike and I at Super Halo Bros on Twitter and Instagram, you can do that as well. Mike, we're really excited about our show on Wednesday because we have a very special guest. Who we got?
Yeah, we got Sam Blum from The Athletic that will be joining us. And he was the guy that talked a lot about why Artem Moreno didn't sell. So we're certainly going to ask him all of those questions and other questions that we have. If you have questions, man, send it to us. You can tweet us or you can send us a direct message on Instagram or on Twitter. We would love to hear from you and we can ask Sam your questions. But he will be joining us on Wednesday on Locked On Angels.
Sam does a great job covering the Angels for The Athletic. Until Wednesday's show, my name is John and that's my brother Mike.
And my name is Mike and that's my brother John.
Thanks for being here with us and we will see you back here on Wednesday for more Locked On Angels.